You know, Ron's using the same music.
I saw that, so...
We're going to have to copyright Ron.
Right? Jeez.
Yeah, go check out Ron's podcast. Yeah. He posts on his main channel, but... I think we inspired him, and he got the same board. And you know, this is the canned music. I have options. Like we can go.
We can put all kinds of stuff on here.
I pay for Soundstripe, which
and I got Epidemic Sound.
Yeah, so we can be legit. It's just we're lazy,
and we really don't even know for sure that this isn't copyright. Well, I mean, I guess it's not because we do.
We are monetized.
We officially got monetized.
That's right.
Thank you, guys.
Yes. So. We hit the watch time. Took us a little while, but that's okay.
I know. I think we made like $1.64 our first day.
We are big balling, killing baby. It. Oh my goodness.
Killing it.
How are those headphones? You're trying to, they do look
not
small.
Not bad. They do.
But they're JBL. That's a good brand.
I mean, the sound and everything is fine. They're really not that uncomfortable. When I first opened them, I was like, those just look cheap.
No, they look
good. I mean, they were cheaper, but.
But it sounds good.
I didn't want to spend $200
right
now. Pair of headphones.
I've already put too much money in.
Won't use very often. But then when I was thinking about, I was like, we've spent a bunch of money and I just buy like $40 headphones. It didn't make a lot of sense. But
not a lot of what we do makes sense. But no, Brad.
But they do sound fine. They're not that uncomfortable. I do like the over the ear versus just like sitting on top.
Yeah, kind of noise canceling.
I feel like if we were to do two podcasts wearing this, I think it would make my ears hurt.
Yeah,
because there's just like the pressure. Like I couldn't edit all day on these.
Ah, gotcha.
So
that makes sense.
It's all right. I forgot mine, but when I have mine, it'll just be the guests. They'll be the uncomfortable
That's
ones.
Right. Yeah, they can deal with it. Sorry. But hey, at least we were providing them because we did a podcast with Brant and he gave us a hard time. He's like, if this was Joe Rogan, I bet I wouldn't have to bring my own headphones.
Yeah.
So we had to get headphones.
Nice voice crack there, Matt.
I know. It's never going away. It's just part. It's part of who I am. Yeah. And I'm sorry. You have to deal with that if you listen.
He was talking about all his CrossFit and manliness and now he's...
No, well, I was actually talking about how unmanly I am and how sore I am.
This is true.
And I've learned what's crazy. Old. So it's been right at a month. I started October 3rd. It's November 4th as we're filming this. And so I'm right at a month. And I've been pretty consistent. I only missed a few days because we were out of town going to Vegas. Otherwise, you know, I go almost nearly every day, like 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So I'm staying pretty consistent. But what I've learned, what's crazy about this is there's so many people that go and, you know, you're working out with women and men and all that. There are some women that are incredibly strong. But I say this, I mean, we know that, but like they look normal. Like,
yeah,
they look like, you know, average sized women, you know, petite. I mean, they look strong, but it's not like they're like, you
know? Right. They're not bodybuilders.
But they're incredibly strong. Like, my eyes have been opened to how strong women really are.
Yeah.
It's impressive. Like, they're doing way more.
It would make me look like a little.
I'm already weak as it is, but, you know, like, doing some of this stuff next to some of these women, I'm like, all right. Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll get in the gym with you.
You need to come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I texted him yesterday to see if he wanted to try to do a podcast today, and he was like, yeah, I'm fishing, and then I got going to CrossFit. He's like, you can come with me. And I was like, yeah, I'm worth way more dead than alive. So it's actually a pretty good investment of my
might
time.
Might as well. I mean, probably going to die. It is torture to your body. I'm still extremely sore. I'm so weak. And that's what's eye-opening, you know. And I'm excited to get stronger and keep going. But I'm definitely not. I'm not flexing over here, Brad. Yeah. I'm a weak man.
That's all right. I definitely am too. I haven't lifted weights in a long time, and like I'm not a small guy, but like it's not muscle. I'm not fat, but
no, you have to like engage.
Like I feel like muscles. I may like look a little more intimidating than I really am because
you're a big fella.
When I carry laundry up the stairs, I'm like, oh,
grunting like.
I'm like if I had to get in a fight, like I might be in trouble.
You know, I've actually posted a video recently and. This is one of those things you don't realize much until you're doing it, but I got a lot of flack for it because I make a lot of sex noises when I'm catching fish.
I remember you saying that somebody messaged you or commented that like they were watching a video and their mom walked in and Matt's over here like, come on. Oh yeah.
I know and they're right. And you know, I can't help it. I don't know. I mean, I try not to, I guess, or I'll try not to, but it's just So here's the problem. And the one that's the worst is I caught a bass, which was a decent sized bass out of this pond in Orlando. And I reposted the video on Facebook, and it's gotten a lot of views on Facebook. And of course, Facebook comments are just
they're gold.
Yeah, I'll break down that video because there's three different things about this video that people are really keyed in on. Number one being the sex noises that I make while I'm catching a fish. And
I'm gonna have to go watch that one.
Yeah, I'll do this. Okay, I will add a clip to that in this right here, just so you can, so that our audience can hear. You don't have to see anything. I mean, I'll play the clip, so if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it. But if you're listening, you can hear the sex noises. I'll play that now.
Oh, 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 you're angry. Oh, God.
Okay. So you probably have an idea that these people are accurate in these sex noises. But what the problem is, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to catch the fish. And in some cases, not this one, but in some cases, like, I may already be fatigued. Like, especially a lot of beach fishing, because you're casting a lot, walking a lot, or kayak fishing, or whatever. And that's not really communicated. Like, I may have casted hundreds of times before I actually hooked up on this fish,
right?
Which is tiresome on your body. So you're already tired, and then you hook up and you're fighting this fish and you're trying to maneuver and all this stuff, and you're trying to talk in addition to that, and it just, you're out of breath. And so naturally it's just like, you know, you're trying to catch your breath and you're just making noises.
Come here, baby.
Yeah. And and most people, more people probably make those noises than they realize, but they're not filming themselves.
Right.
So they don't realize that they're actually doing it too. Yeah, but yeah. Yes, I agree. It does sound like sex sounds. I agree 100%.
Well, we got a lot of extra spots on this board here that we can download sound. So you may need to look at downloading one of those noises.
One of the noises
I
make.
We can just always press one of these, and it's going to be Matt going,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, big bass. You know, and that's what I'm saying. And people are jumping all over me about that one. But there's a couple other things about this video that people have commented on that I want to address, Brad. Is that okay? Can I address that here?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this is for, right?
No, we'll have a little TED Talk.
Yeah, TED Talk.
Isn't that what they call it? TED Talk?
I don't know.
I think TED Talk's like a... I don't know where that name, I guess, came from, but I think when they... Like, they say you're going to have a TED Talk, you like... I don't know if he does podcasts or what.
Is that like a person?
I don't know.
Named after
I've heard that phrase a lot. Like, you're gonna have a TED Talk.
Okay. Well, all right. I want to bring it up. All right. Two things. So, first of all, I got blasted because it took me a while to land this fish, this bass, and I'm fighting the bass, and I play the fish out, and I'm using a bait caster in this video, which I don't use bait casters a lot, so I'm not real experience with them, but I had the drag set because bass fishing, I know I want like a really hard hook set, right? So I have the drag
ripping lips
pretty tight, you know, because I want to make sure the drag doesn't pull out when I set the hook on the bass. So the drag's pretty tight. So I'm fighting the fish and I'm trying to play the fish out, and in my brain, you know, and what I'm doing is I'm hitting the button so that it's free spool, basically, so that when I feel the fish pulling, it's not pulling. It was pulling a little bit of drag, but I knew it was a big bass, and I was like, I don't want anything breaking or messing up, or you know, if there's any weak points in my line or in my knot or gear or anything, I just want to let this fish go and do what it wants to do. So I'm trying to play the fish out. So I'm, you know, free spooling it, which people are like, oh, don't do that. You know, and I'm like, and a lot of this comes from saltwater fishing.
Yeah.
You know, opposed to bass fishing. Because, you know, bass fishing, the idea, the concept generally is like, you hook that fish, just winch that bad boy in there, get him in. It doesn't matter, big, small, whatever. You know, you're using pretty heavy gear. Like, just rip that thing in there.
Yeah.
Saltwater fishing is not that way.
No.
In most
cases. A little
bit
different.
You know, you're, and so that's where that comes from. But also, what's running through my head, and so many people are like, you could have had that, because the fish was pretty close to the bank even when I hooked it. I could have, if I wanted to, I could have just ripped that fish right on the bank if I wanted to. And it was a big bass, but I'm using 40-pound line and like a heavy rod. Like, I had the power to just pull that fish right up on
you. Just
the
weren't doing CrossFit yet.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm straining.
He could have, but physically he could not at that point in time.
Yeah, that's what you're going to hear in the video. I'm reenacting it there. So I'm struggling a little bit. But the problem with that, Brad, how many people do you think would have been upset if I had just ripped that fish on the ground and it's just flopping all over the ground, getting all dirty?
Yeah. Your battles. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, so everybody's like, oh, you should have just, you know, pulled. And I'm like, do you realize how many people would have murdered me for just ripping this bass up on the bank?
8-pounder just flopping around like
they would have destroyed me. So, like, in my mind, what I, like, honestly was playing through my mind is like, I got to wear this fish out because I can't just go land this fish. He's going crazy. He's going nuts. I'm not going to just rip him up on the bank. Like, I'm just not going to do that ever, period. Like, that's not how I fish. So I'm trying to play the fish out. It gets tired. I'm able to ease it. It never comes out of the water. I just bring it to the edge of the water. It's tired, so it's not fighting me anymore. I can go down there and grab it, and we're done. And I'm able to revive the fish at the end.
Right.
Swim off. Anyway, but I got blasted for how long it took me to land that fish. But people just don't think things through.
Oh, no. They're looking. They already knew clicking on that video they were going to find something.
Oh, of course. Yeah, and the other thing is, too, like, so I didn't have a scale. So I don't have like an official weight.
Right.
But I'm fairly decent. I fish nearly every day. I've weighed a lot of fish. I have a pretty good idea. Like, obviously, like, and I can look at a fish. I can feel a fish. I can give you a pretty close estimate.
Right.
Of how, like, even at one of the last times I was with Ron, that he always has a scale. And both the fish that we pulled out were striped bass. And I pegged both of them before he weighed them.
It's right on the
like,
money.
I can look at a fish and go, okay, it's probably about, I mean, and sometimes, yeah, obviously, I'm pretty good at it, Brad. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty confident in my abilities, right?
Sounds like you're bloating over here, but
I'm just saying, like, I can actually peg a fish pretty good. So this fish was low side, like, it was not less than 7 pounds. High side, 8.5, like, max.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's somewhere in that range. And I've gotten so many comments that are like, oh, man, that fish ain't more than 3 pounds. I'm like, bro, like that fish is legit. Yeah. I've caught plenty of 3-pounders in my life. And this fish is way more than double this 3-pounder.
I feel like it's like in the saltwater world, we don't really concern ourselves too terribly much about weighing fish.
No, like, not typically.
We talk about lengths. And I mean, we will, like certain stuff we will weigh or whatever, but we're not like over the top about it. But bass fishermen,
it's weight.
Like, it's a huge deal.
It's
like
all
if
about
you catch
weight.
A 5-pounder, an 8-pounder, sure. 10-pounder, whatever. Like it's weighing the fish is a big deal. So they it's a whole lot of that that didn't do anything.
Yeah. I know what you're trying
My blank
to,
is bigger than your blank.
Oh yeah. And that's bad about fishing. And people are bad about it even in saltwater because jacks, redfish and black drum are the biggest culprits. People are like, yeah, I caught a 40-pounder.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, it's not even close. It's literally half that.
Right.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, but they're so long. That, I mean, it's just a big fish, but not as big as, as heavy as
a 40-pound fish for a redfish, black drum, or jack would be
a stud.
Well, for one, I know jacks, that would be a state record. I don't know what state records are for the other two. Probably not. But 40-pounders, you ain't catching 40-pounders on the regular.
Right.
Like, that ain't a normal thing. Most of these fish, because I've weighed a lot of them, and most jacks that we catch around here that are big are anywhere from 15 to 25 pounds.
Yeah.
That's somewhere in that ballpark. If you break 25 pounds on a jack, you're doing really good.
You got a good one.
That's a big fish. Anyway, I digress. I just I had to get on a soapbox, and none of the people that have commented that are going to see this because it's all Facebook. And it's just a bunch of people that
You gotta love it, man. But I actually caught a jack yesterday. We've talked about this before, where in Alabama we either have tiny babies or we have the 15-20 pounders, and I caught one. It wasn't like right in the middle, not like the one you caught in Jupiter, but it was. It was not a baby. Like, it was like the size of a pompano. It was probably, I don't know, two pounds.
2-pounder. Okay.
And I was like, dang, like, never caught. I was like, this looks weird.
I know.
I'm not used to seeing something like this.
It's very odd. Yeah, I fished the beach. This was last year. I can't remember. There was a beach in South. I can't keep up. I can't remember what trip it was. But I was down there, and I caught like 4 or 5 jacks off the beach, and they were all 2-3 pounds. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Just because you're not going to do that.
Yeah,
here.
We don't do that.
Yeah. Which is so weird. You're right. It makes no sense. We can catch the little teeny tiny ones, or we catch 15, 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Crazy. But that's right. Where'd you catch it?
It was on the pier. I was on the boat, but fishing.
At the pier.
The broken pier.
Oh, That's
live shrimp. Yeah,
that's pretty cool, man.
I know when he first hit, I was like, "Dang, this is something decent." And then he was getting close. I was like, "I just get a pompano," and then I was like, "Oh crap, that's a jack."
That is pretty cool.
Kind of cool.
Something else. Another video that here recently that's kind of peeved me off a little bit is I posted a reel of my cobia catch from the pier, and I titled it, you know, some people fish their entire lives for this fish or for this opportunity or something like that.
Right.
And I've gotten several comments. I sent one of them to y'all, but that's not the only one that I've gotten saying that said you only pier fish because you can't afford a boat. And I've got
comment.
I know.
Just like,
yeah, I have no clue. But the problem is, like, also a lot of people have said they will be bragging about, well, I've caught way bigger on a boat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't understand.
This is land-based, buddy.
The point. Like, yeah. Do you fish? You would think people that fish and are in the fishing industry, which evidently these people commenting that are, you would think they would understand catching something like that from a pier is way more valuable.
Right.
Than catching it from a boat. Yeah,
I know. Catching stuff from a boat, like, it makes it difficult. Like
cheating,
so like
in
yesterday... We didn't do anything crazy. We ended up catching a bunch of just undersized red snappers.
Yeah, which is cool.
And I was like, if I was doing this from the pier, it would be a cool video.
It would be epic.
But I post a video from my boat catching a bunch of undersized snappers.
Not as cool.
Kind of looks pretty lame.
Exactly.
But like, I don't know if I'm making a video or not.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the difference, the challenge, because not only is it you don't get those opportunities very often, but there's also the element of competition.
Right.
You are now competing with everybody on that pier for whatever fish swims by.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you're out there on a boat that you can go wherever the heck it is you want to go and you're by yourself, it's and especially when it comes to saltwater, it's not that complicated. Once you know spots and know the patterns of when fish will be around and stuff, sure, it takes skill. I'm not taking anything away from that. There's obviously very skilled fishermen and stuff. But the challenges that you're going to face trying to catch any of those fish from land or from a pier versus on a boat, way more difficult.
100%.
So that was my point.
Yeah.
in titling it that, in that, like, there are plenty of people that have fished their whole lives on piers and thrown at cobia, seen cobia, competed for cobia, but have yet to catch one from a pier.
Yeah.
Because it's just that hard.
Yep.
It's a hard thing to do. So anyway.
That's funny.
Instead of getting these things on the chest.
Gotta love those comments.
I know. And obviously we get all kinds of crap, and people that comment really have no clue what they're talking about. But it's just amazing how many you get.
Yeah.
When those videos go viral, how many are the same? About, you know, referencing the same thing that have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah. I know. I had a video that it was my first game warden video. It's almost at 2 million on YouTube. But the same comment, this has nothing to do with fishing. But in that video, I did a catch and cook. I caught a sheep's head and ended up cooking it. And I said in the video, somebody had recommended me to try this recipe. I've never made this thing in my life. It's called like moqueca or moquica or something like that. Something like Brazilian fish stew. Anyways, so literally in the video, I'm reading the recipe off of my phone, telling me step by step what to do. And then at the end of the eating the fish, I'm like the lime, like it had a lot of lime in it. And I'm like, the fish had a little more lime flavor than I like. I'd probably use less lime. Maybe wouldn't have put as much in the marinade because it had you marinate the fish first. And I got so many comments. They're like, you idiot. You're not supposed to dump the marinade into the pan. I'm like, I literally am reading the recipe. And
never
the recipe
done it before.
Said, take the marinade and dump it in the pan with the fish. Like, if you paid attention to them, I literally am doing what it's telling me to do.
People, man.
Yeah.
And that was your game warden video?
Yeah.
You run into the law so much, Brad.
I get that a lot on some other game warden videos. They're like, you're just attracting the law. You're doing stuff to find them. I'm like, I've literally not done anything. Like, they just show up.
Well, it sounds like it happened again today, Brad.
It did. I'm not too,
did
too
you,
thrilled.
Did you film it?
No, but after he went back to the car, I told Courtney, I was like, maybe we ought to turn the camera on.
You should have. So what happened?
So me and my wife went to Sam's Club, do a little shopping. And on the way home, so we got to where we went, you got to take the interstate for a portion of the drive. And so we're on the way home. We just got off the interstate and we're basically still on a highway. Like, it might as well be an interstate four lanes, whatever.
It's the biggest speed track down here. Really,
yeah, it's a straightaway. It's flat. Like if you could do 100. And so when he just got off the interstate speeding, right,
like going 80
on the interstate, when you get off and you're in a 55, but you still feel like the interstate, driving 55 feels like you're crawling.
It's hard.
And so on it, like, this isn't good, but like I speed probably more than I should. So like I didn't even think about it. Like I'm just driving home, and he must have been on the driving towards me on the other side of the road, because I just saw the lights flash and he like started cutting across the median. I was like, I'm like looking in the rear view. I'm like, who's he coming after? Courtney was like, that's probably you. And I'm like, crap. She was like, were you speeding? I was like, I don't know. Probably.
Most likely.
Yeah. And so sure enough, he turns around. He's got the lights on. He pulls behind me. And I'm like, dang. Like I've been pulled over a few times. Like not recently, but in like the past few years, like I've been pulled over a couple times, but I haven't gotten a ticket. And so he pulls us over. He was like, do you know you're going 75 in a 55? And I was like, no. he was like, any reason for you to be driving that fast? I was like, no, so sir.
Was this a sheriff?
State trooper.
Oh, yeah. See, you're not getting out of a state trooper.
No, if they're going to take the time and pull you over, you're getting a ticket. And Courtney was like, better you than me. I'm like, no, you might have gotten out of this one. Easier for some women to get out sometimes. She's been pulled over twice within like the last year, and she's gotten out of both of them.
State troopers, though?
I don't know. It was on Beach Express.
Oh, okay.
Which is usually state troopers.
This is a good chance. Usually you're not getting out of those. Yeah. A city cop or sheriff or something, a lot of times they're not really trying to give you tickets. Yeah. But state troopers, that's their job. Yeah. It seems like.
And then so like he obviously took my license, all that. And so we're talking, like me and Courtney are like, think he's gonna give us a ticket? I'm like, I don't know. Like I haven't had one in a while. Maybe he'll see my record and be like, he's a good driver.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm like
20
I was
over.
Like,
yeah.
It's like hopefully if he writes me a ticket, he at least bumps it down to like 15 or something. Because I don't know what the levels are, but yeah. I think like 20 might be like a bump up to a little more expensive or something. I'm not
probably
really sure.
I don't know.
But so he comes back and he goes, Serge, you know your tags are expired?
Oh,
I was like, crap, no.
Snap.
He's like, they just expired in October. And again, you just mentioned earlier, it's November 4th. Well, I don't remember getting a letter in the mail.
You've got a grace period on that, though. Did he give you a ticket for
it? No.
Okay.
He's like, I'm just going to give you a verbal warning for this, but you need to go get new tags.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it now, but coming from Tennessee, you're...
Oh, here comes that Tennessee law again. You don't have to have a boater's license. What, you can do anything you want, Tennessee.
So coming from Tennessee, your tag expires based on like when you bought your car. And so if I bought my car in February, my tag just always expires in February. But in Alabama, it's by your last name.
Correct.
And then so we went from... My truck used to be February, and me and Courtney's cars were different.
Yeah.
And we moved down here, and it's every October our tags expire. But I thought they usually send you something in the mail. I don't remember getting anything
in
the mail.
You're supposed to, yeah.
But her car's expired, which also means my truck is expired, so I'm still driving around on expired tags right this moment. But it's Friday. There's nothing I can do about it right now.
Well, you're supposed to have, and that's probably why I didn't give you a ticket. You're supposed to have like a 30-day grace period with that. So typically
30 days from the end of the month, though?
Correct.
Like if I expired on...
Yeah.
Because
you expired in October, you basically have...
Because I
month
had
of
an
November.
Entire month of October to do it.
Right. But it was still good until
right,
October 31st.
Right. It wasn't bad until November 1st.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've run into this before, but generally they're not going to give you a ticket or anything for it because in that first 30 days.
Yeah.
Usually not even pull you over.
Yeah.
Now he was already
and especially down here. So like in Tennessee, on your license plate, it said you had on one side it said the month, and on the other side it had the year.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I think it just has a color for the year,
it
and then it very smallly says like the month and date. But you couldn't just see it like driving down the road. But if it's like red for 2022 and you had a yellow one, which is 2021, it'd be obvious that you were expired.
Correct.
But I think now the way Alabama has it, like they would have to be like right behind you, like really looking to even see the month that it was expired. So, I don't think I would get pulled over just for that. But we tried to do it online.
Go check your tags, people.
Yeah. We tried to do it online, but it said that our cars weren't eligible for online renewal. I don't know what that's about.
Maybe because you are past.
That's true. The maybe because it's expired, you have to go
had
in.
Had to do that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they knew I just got pulled over and got a ticket.
That's right. So did he bump you down at all, or was it?
No. 75 and a 55.
Did he tell you how much it would be? Sometimes they'll tell you, this is a whatever.
No, he gave us a thing, and he was like, you got to go to, like, you can go to this website, take care of it. If you do that, you don't have to go to your court date. And so Courtney tried to look it up, like, on that website, but it said it could take up to 10 days
for the
ticket to, like, show up on there. So
yeah, you have, like, 90 days to pay it or something.
Yeah, he said my court date was set for, like, January. So.
Yeah. You going to dispute it?
Yeah.
I was going 20 over, but
if you see a Bearded Brad video in January talking about
the cops
took me to court,
that's a great video.
That is a great video.
You should just go
just for fun.
Yeah, just see what happens.
I mean, can you film in a courtroom, right?
I don't know. I think it's different.
I mean, it's public property. I think you can film in there.
I don't know. You can try it.
Like, listen here, Judge.
Yeah, that's right.
I was doing 74.
That's right.
I want you to drop that down to 19, yeah. Not 20.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of people going even when they were in the wrong, and because you were speeding.
Yeah.
You should have got a ticket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the bottom line. But I've heard of people going and getting out of it because of one. Because
they went.
Yeah, because they went, and the officer did something that wasn't quite correct, or maybe wrote something down. Yeah, any little mistake, and they'll
maybe wait. I'm gonna look back at my ticket and see if he messed something up.
Yeah, I mean,
that would make a funny video, at least a Facebook video.
Right, just to go to court.
One of our buddies, Sean Lawless, he had a run in and went to court to fight a ticket. I went kayak fishing with him, and he did a DIY kayak trailer, In the state of Alabama, you don't have to put tags on a trailer, or like a boat trailer or a kayak trailer or something like that, which I think he's from Oklahoma, and I think it might have been the same there. Anyway, so he had just built it. I don't think he knew he had to do it at the time, but he had already gone in and ended up applying for a tag, but it hadn't come in yet. And so when he was parked on the road, he put his, I guess, temporary tag in his dash. And so the lady came by, and wrote him a ticket, and somebody else there got a ticket for not having a trailer on their or a tag on their trailer. And so whoever wrote the ticket put the ticket on his windshield on top of his temporary tag.
No, nothing to see here. We're just going to give you a ticket.
And so he took a picture showing that he had his temporary tag in the windshield. And so he ended up going to court. It was like $100-something ticket. And so he went to court, and the judge asked him about it. And he says, well, sir, I bought a temporary tag, and the DMV told me to just put it in my dash because he didn't have, I don't know what it looked like. It probably just a little piece of paper. He didn't really have anywhere to stick it on the trailer without it getting wet. I don't know his reasoning, but.
And it's, Sean.
Yeah. It is Sean.
Kind of all over the place. We love him.
We call him a squirrel.
Which he actually, we need to read it. He commented on our.
Did he?
He left a review.
Heck yeah.
We need to read
it. On Apple?
Yeah.
Nice.
We'll read it after you're done.
So he told the judge that the DMV told him to put it on his dash or whatever. And the officer that wrote him the ticket goes, no, there was not any temporary tag on his dash.
No. I'm still listening, Brad.
I saw Matt looking on his phone. He goes, uh-oh. I'm like, oh, what happened?
No.
So the cop was like, no, he didn't have a temporary tag on his dash. And Sean was like, actually, sir.
Wait 1 second.
I took a picture of the ticket on my windshield with the temporary tag right below it.
Boom.
Went up and showed the judge
Sean
a picture.
Sean got him.
And the judge was like, technically, you're still in the wrong because your tag does not go on your dash. It goes on the trailer.
But that's what they told me
to
do.
He was like, yeah, that's what he said. And he was like, but you were doing the right thing. Like, you got your temporary tag, whatever. And he's like, we're going to let this one go. But I was like, if they're in court, the cop was technically
under oath,
sworn in. Yeah, under oath. And what's that called? Perjury? With lying in the courtroom?
Maybe.
Is that perjury? I don't know what it's called, but and I'm sure, like, it's If you did that over like a murder investigation, it's probably pretty serious. Well, yeah, now. A temporary tag on a trailer, nothing will probably happen to her. But he fought it and won.
That's crazy. Way to go, Sean. Congratulations. But yeah, he left a review here.
Is it 4 stars?
No, he gave us 5.
That would have been funny.
Thank you, Sean. And it's TFD Lawless.
I wonder what TFD stands for. The fire department. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe so. Who knows? I don't know what TFD, but it says very entertaining, very funny, and hard to turn off once you start an episode. One suggestion, though, you should have that Lawless Tide guy on more often. He is really smart, amazing fisherman, and really, really, really good looking. Just my 2 cents from a humble fan.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Sean.
We appreciate it. Yeah, Sean, if you haven't checked him out, go check out the Lawless Tide, Sean Lawless. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. We like hanging out with him.
Yeah.
But so the point of this podcast, which we've just been talking about BS.
Now we're like halfway in and we haven't even, talked about anything we're going
to
talk about.
Yeah, we actually have a point to this one because Christmas is coming around.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's great. Like,
wham! Christmas.
I know. The other day, Courtney was like, she's like, I'm going to order the boys some stuff on Amazon. I was like, why? She was like, we're trying to save some money. And she's like, it's almost Christmas. I was like, holy, it's freaking November.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. Are you coming over tomorrow?
We're not. I don't think we're going to be able to make it because we got the party and then we have some other friends that invite us over for they're giving us a birthday dinner kind of thing. I don't think we're going to have time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Because I'm excited about tomorrow's game.
Yeah. It's going to be a good game. Yeah. But I was going to say, if you come over, you will get to see the Christmas trees that are up in my house right now.
They're already up.
Already up.
That's impressive.
Yeah, she loves Christmas.
I get it.
So it goes up as soon as I say yes, which I never say no. I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
I don't care. Like, if a tree's in the corner of my living room, like, it doesn't make a difference to me. So
I'm just
whatever
really
makes her happy.
Cheap. And I think we've talked about this before. So this is funny. Last year, We've had this tree for years. I think we paid $25 for it. It's a pre-lit, just cheap tree.
Yeah.
And I think we've had it for like 4 or 5 years. Well, half the lights went out on it last year, and Courtney was begging me to get a new tree. And I'm like, Courtney, just wrap some more
lights.
Well, we already had lights. we already had like a ton of
trees. We can fix this for free.
I said, just wrap the lights. And she's like, no, that doesn't look. I was like, Courtney, we're not buying another tree. And this one's like $25. We've already got 5 years out of it. And I'm just so cheap, I wouldn't even let her buy a
tree. Really? Are you going to let her get a new one this year?
Yeah. I'm caving in.
Yeah.
And she really wants to get a real tree, which, look, I'm not handy. And you have to, like, keep up with it. You have to go cut it down. Yeah. You have to, I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to cut it
but
down.
That was, she if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it.
But there's a, you know, there's proper ways to maintain it. It's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff I don't know or understand.
I don't like the fact of, one, any kind of bugs and stuff that could be on the tree, bringing that into your house.
Getting in there.
And then also, like, as it's dying, you just have needles everywhere. Like, the concept sounds great. Like, going out, cutting down a tree sounds very Christmas spirity.
Correct.
But I'm not crazy.
I'm not bah humbug. I like Christmas. I just don't like spending a bunch of money on all this stuff that's like. Yeah.
I know, so we got a new Christmas tree this year too, and for a good reason. So we've, in our last house here, which was just a little apartment, we probably had like, I don't know, maybe even 8-foot ceilings, like tiny ceilings. And so we just had like a little 7-foot tree. Well, now the place we live in has 10-foot ceilings. And so, like, you can, but a little 7-foot tree in the corner.
It looks kind of puny.
And our living room's pretty big.
It is big.
So you got high ceilings, big living room, like little bitty tree. I'm like, all right, you can get a new one. So we got a 9-foot tree now.
Okay. How much was it?
I don't know. She bought it.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't there for that one.
Yeah.
But then, so we set it up. Well, she set it up. I don't do any of that part. And I just bring it in the living room, and she does whatever she wants. And so she starts putting ornaments on it. And she's like, you know, we still have that other tree, too. She's like, actually, I'm just going to put that tree up, too. We're going to have 2 trees this year, which means I got to go buy some new ornaments, too, because we don't have enough for both trees. I'm like, oh, God.
Just like, adds up.
We're saving money.
Yeah, not anymore. So,
all good, though. I mean, it's cool. We have one that's like a nice decorative tree in our living room, and then the other one she put more of like the kids' stuff, and the kids got to decorate it. So Looks good.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got four kids. And Annalise now, she's five, and so it is important to do that stuff. So they get that experience. And
for sure.
And for fun. For the longest time, you know, because we were married for 9 years before we had Annalise, and Courtney would still put up stuff, and I'm like, Courtney, why are you even fool with it? We don't have people over.
Yeah.
It's just the two of us. Don't bother. I mean, again, I'm not bah humbug. I'm not.
Sounds like Mr. Grinch over here.
No, but it's just, it's extra work. It's extra money. It's all this stuff. And it's like, I just don't, and she, you know, of course she likes it, I guess, but it's whatever. But, you know, but now I get it. We got a kid. So yeah. We got to do it. And we'll spend the money. I'll let her get a tree.
Did y'all do, what's that thing called? The Elf on the Shelf?
Yeah, we did do that last year. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it again this year.
Yeah.
Y'all do that? Same.
Yeah. Last year was our first year to do it. And it works really well.
Yeah,
they don't care about telling them that I'm going to spank them with a belt or anything, but I tell them Elf on the Shelf is watching, and they're like, okay, I'm
better
sorry.
Better straighten up.
And they've already asked a couple times when he's coming back. Like even like in the middle, like in the middle of summer, they're like, when's Elf on the Shelf coming back?
Yeah, I think Annalise named ours Fairy.
Yeah, ours is...
And she asks about Fairy.
Crap, what is its name? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But
you better
I'm going to have
your
to
kids
remember.
Do. I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm,
they definitely I'm sure remember. They
do. But we have a list of Christmas gifts.
Yep.
Right, and we'll cover some of these. These are ideas for the fishermen in your life, which most of you that are listening probably fish.
Yeah.
But some of you may not.
Yeah.
But if you have other fishing buddies, or if your partner's a fisher person or whatever.
Or you want to just send this to your significant other for him or her to listen to for ideas.
Maybe you need ideas on what you need
for
Christmas. And then they've been asking you, and you're like, I don't know, maybe this will help jog your brain for some ideas that will help your fishing experience.
That's right.
So we don't really have them listed or numbered per se. Yeah, we just kind of jotted down some.
Yeah.
I thought about it for a little bit before I came and jotted a few things down, but one is a bait cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you already have one, but that's one of those things that you kind of need to update every so often, because those things start to stink really bad.
Or even if you already got the cooler, like even just another aerator.
Yeah, you might need a new bubbler.
Like I'm terrible, so a lot of guys will like keep them in the plastic on their things if it rains or gets
that's
wet.
That's smart.
But I don't ever do that, so I'd go through them. Like really quickly.
Yeah, typically need
especially in salt water. As soon as you get a little salt water on it, everything starts rusting and it goes bad quick. So
yeah, that's a good thing to update.
And a
good gift. And a cast net. I don't think we wrote that down, but a cast net.
Yeah.
That's something that gets nasty and smelly.
I gotta get a new one.
Yeah. Even if you already have one, that's a good gift to get a fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
They probably need a new one.
End up saving some money, not having to go buy as much live bait, easier to get bait.
That's right. So. They'll be appreciative of that.
I got mine hung up on a rock a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember you telling me
hurt
about
my
that.
Heart.
Yeah. Because cast nets aren't cheap.
No.
I mean, not. Like
the big ones, like you can get a cheap, like 5 foot one or something. They're like, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 bucks. But
can't
like
do a lot with that.
No. But like a good big net, like a 9-10 foot net, even up, I mean, they make up to 12, probably even bigger than that. But I mean, they're going to be 200 something bucks.
Yeah.
For a quality one.
You mentioned polarized sunglasses.
Yeah.
Which they, you know, people mess them up or lose them. You're really bad about losing your...
Dude, it has been a brutal year. Well, really only like a 2 month span. I lost 3 pair of Waterland sunglasses.
In how much time?
Like 2 months.
Good thing you're
sponsored. Two of the pair.
That's expensive.
Yeah.
That adds up real quick.
Two of the pair I lost within like a week of each other. And so one of the times I was on the boat and it like started storming and it was raining like crazy on us. We're trying to run back to the dock. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I just had my glasses on my hat. And because it was like pouring down rain, it was dark. I couldn't really see with them on. They're getting covered with water and everything. So I think I just had them on my hat. And so I'm trying to like pull up my rain jacket and I'm trying to pull up my face mask, trying to cover myself from the rain as much as possible. And somewhere in that process, they just fell off my hat and flew in the water. And then it might have even been like that was during the week. It might have even just been the next weekend, like just a few days later. We were back on the boat and I was with the family. We're in Little Lagoon, and these people had like this big blow up, like climb on looking thing, just like anchored out in the water. And we would pull it up to this beach, and of course my kids see this big thing and they want to go play on it.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, there's nobody around, screw it, let's go play on it. So we go over there and we play on it, and they're like, jump off. And so I had my glasses, and I was wearing them, and I had the whatever you call the things that
croakers or croakies. Yeah, I mean, that's that's a name brand, but
yeah, whatever, the things that hold the glasses around your neck. So I had those on the glasses, and I was actually wearing them on my face, and I jumped off and they gone off, and I was like trying to feel around, and they were gone. I mean, it was like 10 foot deep or something. I was about to swim down to the bottom.
Could you see though, or was it visible?
No, not at all. Yeah, and then we went kayak fishing like a week ago. And I had them in I had them in my pocket, because usually I put them on my head, but I had my the head mount GoPro, and so I didn't put them on my hat. And it was dark when we started, so I put them in my pocket. And somewhere throughout the process of taking the kayaks to the beach, they fell out of my pocket.
Any little thing in your normal routine that throws you off, you got a good chance of losing something.
The Waterlands hooked them up. They're sending me some new
pair. That's right. Get some new ones. So,
pick you up some Waterland sunglasses. You can use code BB15 to save you 15%.
Yours is BB15?
BB15.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mine's just Beach Bum.
Beach Bum.
Yeah.
But you get paid monthly. I get paid on commission.
That's right.
So.
Use his.
Shameless plug.
That's right.
Daddy needs some Christmas money.
Help him out a little bit. But that's a good one. And even if you haven't lost them, or the fisher person that you're buying this for hasn't lost them, they could be scratched up or whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter how nice.
It's always good to have an extra pair. Like, I like having one that I keep in my truck, one you can keep in a tackle bag and anything like that. Cause there's plenty of times you go to the beach and it's dark or wherever, and it's dark and you don't think about glasses. So if you have an extra pair, you can keep in your bag or whatever.
Yeah.
Always a good idea.
Okay. So pliers, I have pliers written down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never bought, but this would be a really good gift. This is something that I would like, because, again, I'm cheap. So if you want to buy me something and you want to spend a little money, if you have a fisher person in your life that's like me in that way, this would be a good gift.
Courtney, if you're listening.
An expensive pair of pliers.
Yeah.
Now, when I say expensive, I mean like $200.
Yeah,
And
like those Van Stalls.
Yeah, because I've always bought what I thought was expensive.
Same.
45, like 40 bucks, 50. And you're like, oh, I'm spending $45 on a pair of pliers. They must be pretty good.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Not in the salt water.
No.
It's, again, for salt water. Like, you can probably get away with that in some freshwater stuff.
Probably.
But I was actually thinking about that yesterday. We were on the boat, and I bought a pair, the exact same. I think me and you use the same pair of pliers. And I bought a pair when I got the boat. I bought one to only stay on the boat. I'm like, I'm not going to deal with not having pliers.
Yeah.
And we're on the boat yesterday. It's been a little while since I've used it. And I'd go to change out lures or something, and I need the pliers, and like, they don't spring at all anymore. Like, I gotta like pull them apart and close them shut. Just that salt water just takes a toll on it.
And it's one of those things you don't want to spend money on.
Yeah,
you know, pliers. It's just kind of lame. It's not
especially
fun.
Like $300 or something.
Exactly.
Like,
you just don't want to spend the money on that. Like, I should have bought. And the problem is, you do lose those sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, and that's been my hang up. But with the amount of pairs that I bought now, just from going bad or not, or even like getting off, you know what I mean? Like the clamps end up, they end up just tearing up from, because if you try to unhook a shark or a big
got a lot of
jack and you're really and that hook's in there and you're really trying to drive it out, it bends them up.
Yeah, I think I was fishing with you and you asked if I had the pliers. I pulled my pliers out of my pocket. They literally just fell apart in my hand.
I don't think I put that in the video. I don't know why, because I think I was rolling. I was like, hey, you got any pliers? You're like, yeah. And they just fall apart.
Just separated.
And you were like, I don't have any pliers. It was pretty fun. And those were what, like a $45, $50 pair? So, yeah, pliers are a good one. If you got a fisher person, like you, it's an essential tool.
Van Stall makes a good one. Sword makes a good one. Any kind of titanium, I think, is the
what you're looking
quality.
For.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're over $100, they're going to be good. If honestly, if they're under like $60, they're going to crap out.
Which is weird to me.
Couple months, or depending on how much you fish.
But. Yeah, and if you're going to buy pliers for fishermen, and you buy anything that's like the $7 to $12 pliers. Don't even
that's like single use.
Yeah, don't even waste your money. Yeah. I mean, it's cheap. It's not going to last. It's not going to work. I mean, pliers are way more expensive than you think.
Yeah, it's funny. We back in the spring, I went on that trip with some of the Guggen Squad guys with Ketchco, and they just like gave us a bunch of random crap. And one of the things was some Guggen pliers.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. Got some other pliers. I didn't even use them. I just put them on my beach cart. And literally, like a couple of trips, they were just like rusted shut. Like, I didn't even use them.
Yeah, you freshwater guys, you don't even understand.
Y'all got it made.
You don't know. Yeah, I mean, so much salt is brutal on everything. Even stuff that's made for salt, quote unquote, a lot of times doesn't hold up. It's quite brutal.
Yeah, another thing we use a lot that also gets messed up a lot like pliers is the scissors.
Yes.
Specifically braid scissors. But like I bought probably like 10 pairs of scissors because I usually do buy the cheap ones. They're like $2 or $3.
Yeah, and they work pretty good.
Yeah.
And a lot of those because I do the same thing. I'll buy, you know, they're a few bucks. So this is a good stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
You can get by with that.
Have them in something if you actually stick it in the stocking.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Brad.
Because like the last time I bought them, I bought a bunch. And so I have one. I have like multiple tackle bags, try to stay organized. So I have like every tackle bag has scissors.
Yes.
My truck has scissors. The boat has scissors.
I haven't done that.
I just like put them everywhere.
I say that every time I'm getting ready to do something because we do so many different styles.
Yeah.
Kayak fishing, boat fishing, walking the beach, pulling a beach cart. I'm right. like, I need pliers and a pair of scissors. In everything. I need them in my book bag. I need them in my beach cart. I need them in my kayak.
I'll even put like two pairs in one bag, just in different pockets.
Yeah. I mean,
that way when I lose it, I'm like digging it. I'm like, oh, yeah, look.
It's so important because if you get out there one day and you don't have pliers and scissors.
Yeah. Especially beach fishing. I mean, you can get away with a knife if you're using like fish gum or fish bites, but have the scissors is huge for fishing with any sort of synthetic bait like that.
Yeah, and make sure the braid scissors, especially if it's a saltwater fisherman, because most of the time we're using braid.
Yeah. If you do get the nice pair of pliers, which even the cheaper ones have the braid cutter or whatever on the side, but the expensive ones probably a little bit better because sometimes, again, they work good at the beginning and then it doesn't take long and it
The 45
shut all the way.
$45 pair, you're right, that does not last long. The little cutters on there, which is crazy. I would think $45 for pliers.
Why can't I get a good pair?
They should be good,
but
that's frustrating.
What else you got for us, Matt?
Yeah, I wrote down a rod for a different style of fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So they may, and maybe they need a new rod anyway for whatever, but like. With saltwater fishing, there are so many different styles. So, like, maybe you can, if you're trying to get a gift for somebody, maybe you can be investigative in a way.
Yeah.
If you're trying to be sneaky about it or whatever. If not, just ask them. But there may be a rod that they're missing in their arsenal, whether it be they need something that's good for the pier for king fishing, or they may need something, if they're into kayak fishing, they may need something that's good for trolling off the beach. Or, you know, even as detailed, and a lot of people that don't fish don't realize this, like I have several inshore rods and they're all different strengths and sizes for different lure weights.
Mm-hmm.
And they fit, like I have a rod specifically, I can use it for other stuff, obviously. Like you can use whatever, you can get by, but if you really want to be successful and feel right and do it properly, there are certain rods for certain things. Like I have a rod for topwater lures.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's specifically for that. Again, I can use it for whatever, but it works best if I'm throwing topwater lures. I have a rod for throwing light jig heads. It's a lighter rod. It throws them well, casts way better. And then I have a mid-range rod for like jerk baits, twitch baits, things like that. So there's a lot of different scenario, and you could even go down the list. I mean, there's even, you know, way more than that, especially for bass fishing and stuff. If you're getting into that, it's crazy. But, you know, for surf fishing, you may have a shark rod in place, but you may need something that's good for throwing artificial lures on the beach,
right,
which we talk a lot about that. And you may need something for throwing heavy lures, but you also may need something for throwing lighter lures too. So you may need like a heavier mid-range inshore type setup that can handle bigger fish but throw those a little bit lighter but not as heavy. Anyway, like there's so many different
I know I was just about to say, if we have a wife listening right now, her head is spinning. But here's she has no idea what to do.
Exactly.
So what would you recommend?
So here's what you do.
For somebody that's not sure.
Try to investigate. You know, if you're trying to be sneaky, okay? Obviously, if not, you can just say, hey, is there, you know, a rod for something, some type of fishing that you don't have? If you can word it like that, you know, if you're not trying to be sneaky. But you can be investigative, like, hey, what kind of fishing do you like doing? Or what kind of fishing did you do this year? And it might come out. Like, they might be like, well, or what kind of fishing would you like to do more of or something?
Right.
You know, in conversation, because it might come out there like, oh, yeah, well, I really want to do this, but I don't really have the right stuff for it. Yeah. And if you hear that, that's like, okay, make a note. But you don't have to do all this research and stuff because you would have no clue what you're doing. I have to, like, it's hard for me. But
yeah.
What the way I know is, like, I know I want to do something. I know I need something for this. And I just go to the tackle store and say, hey, this is what I'm looking to do. And they can point you in the right direction. Yeah. So just go to a good local tackle store.
If you're going to be in our area, if you go to Sam's in Orange Beach and ask Chris,
he'll hook you up.
Chris or Mark both are extremely knowledgeable. And that's typically my go-to if I'm getting a new rod and reel, especially if I don't know what I'm looking for, that I go talk to Chris.
Yeah, so like if you go there and your person that you're trying to buy for is like, yeah, I really need a good rod to throw topwater lures, or like if that comes out, you can just jot that down, go to Chris and tell them that, and yeah, they will show you exactly what you need and in different budget options and all those things.
Don't do that at Walmart.
You can't do this at Walmart.
Go to a tackle
this
store.
This is a very strategic gift. But like this would be a gift that's like very specific, and if you're really trying hard, and would mean a lot to the person.
Yeah.
Like if somebody did that for me, I'd be like, wow, you know, this, even though, yeah, I have a million fishing rods, but if you did your research and did your homework and really went out of your way to try to figure out exactly what I wanted, like that would mean a lot.
Yeah. And a good one to go along with that would be a new reel as well, which all the same things, kind of figure out what they're wanting to fish for, because there's anywhere from like a 1,000 on up to 10,000 size.
Yeah.
So a lot of options in there, but there's some good ones that came out this year too, especially for saltwater fishing. You want to get something like, when I first started, I was buying like Penn Pursuits and what's the other one? Battle.
The Fierce,
which the Battle's a good reel.
Yeah.
But they're not fully sealed. And so if whoever you're buying for maybe just got into saltwater fishing or has been doing it a while but hadn't really got any nice gear, if you can get them something that is sealed, which is going to be in the Penn line, which me and you both pretty much use primarily Penn, but anything from the Spin Fisher up.
Yeah.
Is going to be a fully sealed reel.
If we're talking spinning gear for saltwater fishing, if you're going to spend anywhere from like low end 150, high end 300 on a reel that's an upgrade for like if they may be using cheap stuff that's like less than $100. But if you really want to, if they want something nice, it's 150 to 300.
Yeah. And I always tell people, like, if you're not 100% sure, and again, if you can figure this out through conversation, but if you don't know exactly what size they need, if they're doing a lot of inshore
this is so complex. Like, thinking about it from somebody that trying to put myself in somebody's shoes that doesn't fish,
yeah,
this would be like way overwhelming.
Yeah. So for me, like, I've only lived here almost 4 years. And before I moved here, I'd fish from the beach on vacation, but I had zero knowledge as far as what to expect moving down and fishing saltwater every day. So the first reel I bought it still in Tennessee, and it was at Bass Pro Shop, and it was on sale. And probably from watching your videos, I heard that Penn Spin Fishers were good reels. And so I was at Bass Pro Shop, and they had a Spin Fisher in Nashville for whatever reason. And it was a 7,500.
Yeah,
That's an odd size,
too.
I know. I'm like, after I moved here and I realized this, I'm like, why did they have this in Nashville?
It's so random. Like, yeah.
Nobody, probably somebody ordered it and returned it.
Yeah.
Is more than likely what happened. But so it was a 7,500 for like
$90. Oh, that's a good
deal.
And
I was like, I think this is good. So I bought it. And then I got down here and I'm like, I don't need a 7,500 for really anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing some shark fishing or
I was about to say, like, that would be a good application for catching black tips and stuff.
Right.
For that kind of setup.
But for the most part, like if you're looking to buy somebody a new reel, I usually recommend a 4,000 as like a good all around. Like I could, from the beach, count out sharks. I can pretty much catch anything on a 4,000.
Yes.
Even some jacks if you need to. Like you got enough line capacity. enough drag that a 4,000 or a 5,000, mm-hmm. Either one of those two, you can pretty much do everything.
Yeah. But you're going to want the lighter stuff if it's like inshore. You know, 2,000, 3,000.
Yeah, they're doing like trout fishing or anything like that.
So, and again, that's the thing. You're just going to have to be investigative and figure out what kind of fishing they want to do. But you can go to the tackle store and say, hey, this is what they want to do, and they can.
Yeah, or just buy them one of every size. That's always
just a good get them everything to say they want it all. Because I have right now, like I haven't even counted, but I have probably 20 something setups that I actually use, and that
complete rod and reel, or do you move reels back and forth?
A complete rod and reel, probably about 20 plus that are in my.
I need to do that. Use. I'm bad. Like I have a bunch of rods, but I will move reels around, which is a pain because For instance, my whiting setup, I use the it's the Battle DX. I'm drawing a blank, but it's the 2500, and so I use that for a lot of inshore stuff, like light tackle, like trout fishing, whatever. But I also use that on my whiting setup. So if I'm using it for one thing, and then like I'll use it for mangrove snapper, and then end up having to go and cut all like I have a whiting rig already rigged up, ready to go, and then I gotta cut it off.
Yeah.
Usually, if I cut something off, it's getting thrown away.
That's right.
Unless it's a lure, but like a rig, I'll just tie another one.
Yeah.
Salty will give me another
That's
one.
That's right. But. No, I got tired of that. I even have, for the spinfishers, for the 4,500 spinfishers, I use that so often, I bought backups.
Yeah.
So, because what I do when I get them serviced, that way I can continue using them for however long they're getting serviced. Because I usually get my stuff serviced about once a year, which that may be a good Christmas gift.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just say, hey, I want to get your reel, sir. You can't really be sneaky about that. You're going to have to get them to...
just steal all their stuff one day.
But, you know, you can give them a gift certificate maybe or whatever or however you want to do it. But that might be a good gift for the fisherman. That's another one of those things that you don't really want to spend your money on necessarily, but it's good to do.
Very good,
they'll be appreciative.
Specifically saltwater.
You
got to get that stuff done if you want the things to last.
And here it is wintertime. I mean, so a lot of people are dialing down their saltwater fishing this time of year. So... probably not going to need it again until spring for a lot of people, you know, the weekend fishermen and stuff, most cases. So it'd be a good time throughout the holiday season to get get it serviced. So not a bad idea.
Okay, I like that one. I probably need to get some stuff serviced.
Yeah, I try to do it once a year.
Yeah,
for my nice stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have some battles that I don't fool with.
Yeah, like whatever.
Whenever they actually go out, I'll just replace them. But for like all the spin fishers and all the
slammers,
I've got some conflicts. And what's the other one that's kind of like the conflict?
Oh, the
because they did away with one of them.
Yeah, the clash.
Clash. They did away with the conflict, I think.
Yeah.
Still got the clash. Anyway, those like $200+ reels.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get those serviced.
Yeah, good idea.
And usually it's about $20 a reel. For depending on who you're using, $20-$25 a reel.
Not bad.
You know, I mean, that sounds kind of expensive, but I mean, for a reel that's $200+, and it doesn't matter what you get unless you buy a Van Stahl or something, which even those I think have to be serviced eventually.
Sort of service,
you're going to have to spend that money, so might as well get it done. You want to keep your stuff up that expensive.
Show.
But if you want to go big, Brad, even a bigger gift. Would be a beach cart.
Yeah.
If they don't have a beach cart.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Like, if you're getting them a Christmas gift, if they don't have one at all, you know, okay, get whatever. But, like, if they already have a beach cart, you need to think upgrade. Yeah, we need to upgrade here.
We got some buddies over at Deerfield Fabrication.
Do they make beach carts?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. They make custom beach carts. You literally, like, if you want to talk to them, and if you're going to get a custom beach cart, probably would be in best interest to talk to them, figure out what they want.
Yeah.
But through Deerfield, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure you could do a gift card with Deerfield Fabrication. But they can literally custom build whatever you want. I mean, they can put racks on there for holding rod holders. They got a handle that's got like a storage bin.
This is going to be pricey, though.
Yes.
Yeah. My guess would be... I don't know I've never had a custom, but I mean,
either.
Probably $700-$800.
Probably.
I mean, if you
could go pretty basic, probably. If you're going to upgrade, I'd go to four wheels. I'd say your cheapest four wheels probably going to be $600.
Yeah, that'd be on the low end. Because like
even just the wheels themselves are expensive.
Expensive, yeah. Because if you just go buy a basic balloon tire beach cart from the tackle store, it's like $350, $400,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
And they might even be more now because I think there was like a hard... I think it was hard for people to get aluminum. Yeah, I think
they're usually around 400. When I bought mine right after we moved here, and it was like 250.
Yeah.
And the same card's like 400 bucks now.
Yeah, so it's...
But again, it's a lifesaver. So especially if he doesn't have one, like if he's going to be going a lot, him or her, like it's way worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it saves your back too. Because I used the rubber tires for a long time, and it's an awkward... The way that you pull a beach cart, it's not really good for your body.
Yeah, like twisted.
Yeah, it's a very awkward position. So, yeah, anything to help lighten that load, which the balloon tires makes it a little easier to drag. If you can get the four wheels, like that's really the ticket that saves your back a lot. But
and you could even, like, if they already have a beach cart with two wheels, you don't want to buy a full beach cart. They do have separate axles and wheels. So if they have the Fish and Mate cart specifically, you can buy just another axle with two more wheels.
If they're handy.
And they can, yeah, it's
see, pretty, I'm not handy.
It's, it's pretty simple, Matt. So, I mean, you will have to drill a couple holes in some metal. So you'll need some metal.
Sounds really complex right now.
And a little bit of measuring and stuff.
I'm screwed now. Like, that's math.
That's like a drill? What's a drill?
Yeah.
but that would be much more inexpensive versus buying them a whole new cart.
Correct.
If you want to just upgrade to the
most wheels. Most men that I know are pretty handy.
As long as you got a few tools, like it's really not that difficult. It took me. I actually have a video on my channel showing how to do it.
Oh, okay. So, well, look there.
Yeah, so you can see a video on my channel.
There's an option. Then we had one more written down and that's just the simple sand spike. That's an easy gift. If you're gonna spend some money, try to upgrade them. Don't go buy cheap Walmart spikes. Those seriously, the PVC's
falls off the metal.
So cheap. It's just that's not a good route. Try to get them again. Deerfield
makes some cool ones.
They just sent me some and they're super nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get as fancy as you. I've seen some here recently on some of these Facebook groups that are like custom painted.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Yeah. Which that's the first I've seen of that.
Deerfield makes one. Which would be cool for, like, I wouldn't care just because it's a little more bulky, but it's basically the tube, but then it's got a little thing on the side. Actually, I think this might be the open back one. Anyways, it's got a little attachment on the side where you can, like, have a cup holder. It's got a little thing for you to put pliers in. It's kind of neat.
Real fancy.
Yeah,
You can get as fancy as you want, but at least get something that's aluminum.
Yeah.
Go that route. I mean, that's going to hold up a lot better. It buries down in the sand better. It's just a better quality. And if you're willing to spend a little money, I don't even know how much this costs.
I don't know either.
I have several aluminum, but they have all been given to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I haven't bought any of the aluminum ones either.
Yeah. They're nice. I mean, they're way better than the PVC. And absolutely, you can get by with PVC. You just need, like, I have some that's Schedule 40. Is that what that's? See, again, I'm not good with, like,
tools. Make sure it's a thicker PVC.
But yeah, I think Schedule 40 is pretty thick. So if you are going to go the PVC route, if you're going to make them or whatever, just use something a little thicker.
Yeah.
And those have held up. I've had those for years. And the good thing, what I like about those opposed to the aluminum is they're light.
Yeah.
Which makes a huge difference. Now, the ones that Deerfield just sent me, because I have some aluminum ones that are way heavier than what Deerfield just sent me, which makes a big difference because when you're dragging your beach cart, you want to think about that.
Weight.
Yes, you want to think light as possible. You know, I bought one of those expensive, it was a knockoff Yeti, like the Magellan coolers or whatever, but they're still like really stinking heavy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to use this in my beach cart. Yeah. And after, literally the first time I took it, I went, I am not doing that again. So I just have a cheap white Coleman that's super light.
For the longest time, I just would buy the bag coolers for like $5 from Walmart because they're so light.
Yeah.
That's if you like mess it up or something, you just throw away and buy another one for $5.
I've had that little white Coleman cooler
forever before, since you started your channel, at least
I had it before I was guiding, before I started my channel, before everything. Like,
can't believe you haven't lost it.
It's amazing. I think that cooler cost me, I think I got it at J&M, I think it was 20-25 bucks, and I've had it forever.
It's made you thousands.
Yeah. I would like to know how many fish have died in that cooler. Yeah, a lot of fish have died in that cooler.
Dang whiting.
Yeah, but it's still trucking long, man. Great. It's super light, but yeah. So
I don't know if we said that. A cooler is a great one. You said a bait cooler.
But yeah, a cooler. Yeah.
But yeah, cooler would be a good one.
And maybe they want a nice cooler. It depends on what kind of fishing they're doing. If you're beach fishing, don't get them a heavy cooler.
Yeah.
If you're looking to buy a beach fisherman, that's primarily what they do, a cooler, definitely
lightweight.
Think light. Yeah. So you can get by on the cheap on this one because mm-hmm. you don't have to get by.
Yeah, I mean, you're not trying to have something to hold eyes for 2 days.
Yeah, you don't need that.
You just need a few hours out on the beach. So
and something that's easy to drag. So, yeah, you can go buy like an Igloo or a Coleman. Or,
yep.
or you know, Bucky's has, and I use it for kayak fishing, they have those bag coolers mm-hmm. that are actually pretty nice. And it's $20.
It's not bad at all.
I, when you said that, I was like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. To start taking that, because most of the, like, if I'm beach fishing, keeping fish, it's whiting and pompano.
Yeah.
Which are going to fit fine.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
I don't need, I'm not keeping big redfish. Even if I do keep a redfish, it ain't going to be big.
Yeah,
it's going to be like 20 inches. You know what I mean? So that would be plenty big enough mm-hmm. for all that kind of stuff. So you got me thinking, Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's less weight.
I'll buy you one for Christmas.
Well, I already got one, but I'll get another one. One of those.
I wasn't talking about the $5 Walmart one.
Well, the Bucky's ones are 20, and probably
that's
nice.
A little out
and
of
it's got
budget.
A beaver on it too.
Yeah, that's a step up.
Yeah,
can't go wrong with a beaver.
Always like a good beaver.
That's right. Hope you guys enjoyed that episode, and I hope you got some good gift ideas from it.
Yeah,
if you did, if you Merry buy Christmas. Something for somebody, comment and let us know.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can comment. If you are listening on Apple, make sure you rate us and review us 5 stars.
5 stars,
and we'll read some of those on the next episode. We got pretty talked up today talking about a bunch of other stuff and these presents. We didn't read any today other than Sean's.
Yeah, Sean's. Yeah, we
if you rate and review, we will read these on the next That's podcast. Right. But it's Friday night.
Feeling right. Yeah. What do you got going on tonight, Brad? Well, we're going
to smoke a brisket tomorrow. And so I picked one up today from Sam's. And I started a barbecue channel, Bearded Brad Barbecue. So
go check it out.
Yeah. I just prepped it
earlier.
I just prepped the brisket earlier. And it's got to be ready by lunch tomorrow, so I think I'm going to put it on
Sounds delicious.
Tonight. So like 10 o'clock tonight, I got to put the brisket on the smoker. Well, I'm eating steak tonight with my parents and Courtney's parents. Can I come? No. You're not invited. Thanks. If you're watching on YouTube, you should see our facial expressions when we start talking
it's
in
so
these voices.
You sound like me catching a bass.
Come here, baby. Come here. Oh, yeah.